Would you join me in praying before we begin our Torah study? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We want to talk to you tonight about three kinds of provision. We're continuing in our great theme of Kadima, which means what?
Forward.
And we're looking at breakthroughs, because when you want to move forward, when Kadima is the direction you're going in, you're not running backwards, you're going forward, you may find yourself needing a breakthrough. How many of you need a breakthrough? How many need a big breakthrough? You need to learn how you can participate in God's breakthroughs. He is known as Adonai Peretz, the Lord, or Peretz in Hebrew, the Lord who breaks through. He breaks through, which makes room for your breakthrough. And so it's important to know, how does God break through? What are the principles that he says he follows? And this week, we see that he breaks through when it comes to provision. How many of you could use a breakthrough in provision? The entire United States. All of Europe. The first world, second world, world, third world, and if we need the fourth world, it too needs a breakthrough. Provision is important, and we need breakthroughs, and so we need to learn three kinds of provision. So I want to talk to you about three kinds of provision that we see in the Torah portion of the Haftorah this weekend. The first one is provision through normal means. So you just say the key word is normal. Normal. Normal means. The second kind of provision is provision through supernatural means. So the key word there is supernatural. Just say that with me, supernatural. So we got two key words, normal and supernatural. Now, the third kind of provision that the scriptures teach us about this weekend is provision that comes during times of difficulty, hardship, and lack, when you're going through ups and downs. So you can just say trouble. Trouble. So you got normal provision, supernatural provision, and provision when you're in trouble. And what's important is for you to understand that God has ways of providing that combine all of those means. He can provide for you during normal times and in normal ways. He can provide for you supernaturally. Even if the times are normal, you may need supernatural provision. And he can provide for you when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, too. Even if you're the cause of the trouble. So God is so merciful and so gracious to us that he wants us to understand this, because sometimes people think he's going to provide for them but not for me. Have you ever found yourself encouraging other people to believe God while you're struggling to believe God? Have you ever found that God answered someone else's prayer and you've been praying for a lot longer? Well, it's important to understand some of the ways that God works. All three of these are important. The reason I say that is because they're all three necessary. We need to learn how to receive provision in normal ways. What do I mean by normal? For instance, working. Work is a normal way of getting provision. Going to school helps you get provision. There are things to think about, your training, your education, your preparation. Another way that provision works normally is that you have good skills, you have job skills, you have disciplines, you have a work ethic. Any of you ever work with someone who doesn't have a good work ethic? And you're punctual and they show up late all the time? You work longer hours if necessary and they leave early. You work hard, they hardly work. Work ethic is one of the normal ways. People who have a good work ethic see normal provision coming to them. skill. All of these things are part of normal provision, and God wants us to receive normal provision. Think about how important it is to receive normal provision. On a weekly basis, it works like this. If you can't take a day off a week for Shabbat because you don't have enough provision for yourself, what it means then is your normal work week isn't enough. And you have to encroach upon the time that's necessary for spending with God in prayer and study and fellowship, resting and being refreshed. You're encroaching on that, and something's going to give. You're going to lose something down the road because Shabbat is made for you. You need Shabbat. I need Shabbat. We all need Shabbat. We need that time of rest. And if you can take off time for Shabbat, take off a full day, you know what? You'll find that the rest of the week produces what used to take you more time to produce. When you find that you can live your normal life, for instance, you can go to work in a normal way, but when it's Yom Kippur and you can take off that time and you can fast and you can do nothing that's normal, and you have the ability to do that, and your world still works, then it means that the normal world is working. But if you don't find the normal world working, you don't know how to receive normal provision, then when it's time for supernatural provision, you're going to be overly dependent on that. We need both. We need normal provision and supernatural provision. You may have met some people who only depend on supernatural provision, and they have a lack of work ethic. They haven't gotten the education they need, the training they need to get decent jobs. They have other issues, perhaps, and they're always, always needing to be rescued. How many of you have known someone or been one of those folks in that condition? You may also know people who only know about normal provision. They don't know anything about supernatural provision. And so their solution is simply to do more of what they're accustomed to doing. But we need both. We also need provision that comes during times of trouble. Yeshua said, in this world, you will have trouble. How many of you read that in the Gospels? Now, do you know the Gospels means the good news? That does not sound like the good news, does it? Well, the good news is not that you're going to have trouble. The good news is that Yeshua has overcome the world, and that in him you can persevere. In him you have not only normal, but you have supernatural provision. In him you also have provision during times of trouble. Now, some people believe, yes, you have provision in times of trouble as long as you didn't cause the trouble. The sowing and reaping principle. Well, you're reaping what you sowed. How many of you have ever had to reap what you sowed and you weren't happy because of what you sowed? So we know there's an element of truth, but we are not Buddhists, and we do not believe in the inexorable power of karma. We believe that God is a merciful God who can interrupt normal processes for the sake of mercy. Yes. And so it's not always the case that you're going to reap what you sow. And there are times when you have to humble yourself before God and say, please help me not reap what I just sowed. Please deliver me from that reaping and sowing cycle. So some people believe that if trouble comes at you, it's one thing, but if you cause the trouble for yourself, God won't help you. You got to get yourself out. And they've coined, you know, you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that's one thing that's not in the Bible, but it's got an element of truth. The truth is God's merciful to the helpless. And that's why he tells us to pay attention to the widows, to pay attention to the orphans, to pay attention to the immigrants who come in who don't have power themselves. And he says, I want you to look out for them because I'm looking out for them. You get that? And so they may find themselves in trouble they can't get themselves out of. God will get them out of trouble. Now, imagine if you don't understand this and you analyze the story of Ruth, and, you know, she married a Jew. She was a Moabite woman, a Moabitess. And then he died, and she was left with nothing. There were so many problems. And you know, some people would say to her, well, you're just reaping what you sowed. You shouldn't have married that Jew. You wouldn't have these problems if you hadn't done that. Have you ever counseled someone like that? You wouldn't have these problems if you hadn't done this. Well, because we all know that some problems are caused by action that we take or inaction. And so it's easy to say, you could have avoided this problem if only you had done this thing. It's easy to say that. But you know what? Sometimes God finds us in a condition where we're helpless even to get ourselves out of trouble. And he will still show mercy to those who seek his face, who humble themselves and say to him, I know I got myself in this trouble, and so I'm looking for you and your help. Now, I've been in that condition myself, and there were times when I said, God, I understand, I just need to get myself out of trouble. And he'd say, well, you don't need to just get yourself out of trouble. I will help you. And then he said, but if I'm going to help you, you got to do two things. You got to tell the truth. Oh. And you got to do what I say. Ouch. You see, he pushes us back to normalcy, normal life, and obedience. Well, these three aspects of provision are so important for us. They're important for you because you need them all, and they're important for the people around you because they need them too. And you will find yourself in a place where you can help other people if you can point them to all three ways that God provides. And these are also important themes that are developed in this week's Torah readings about the sabbatical year, the Jubilee year, and the process of redemption. So God wants to provide for us, both through normal means and through supernatural means, and the idea of Shabbat actually combines the two. You see, when you work hard on your days of work, God says, I'll bless you and you'll be able to take a day of rest. And then you use that day of rest and you can be refreshed and you can approach your work in a whole new way. But there's also supernatural side to that provision. This is God's economy. And there are times when it seems like it's impossible to take time off or to stop trying to provide for ourselves. And God says, if you'll take Shabbat and call it a delight, I'll cause you to ride on the heights of Jacob. The idea of the sabbatical year also combines the two, normal means and supernatural means. You see, sabbatical year. The idea is that you work for 6 years and you take a year off. This was a commandment given to the farmers in the land of Israel, all those who worked in agriculture, that they were to sow and reap and harvest for 6 years, but on the seventh year they were only to glean from what grew without sowing, without planting. Now, let's say when it's a normal year, you don't have enough food. Guess what? On the seventh year, you think you can trust God to provide for you? No. The experience of normalcy sets you up to trust him for supernatural provision. The idea of the Jubilee year does this in the same way in a double portion because you have a 49th year, which is a sabbatical year, and then you have a 50th year, which is a Jubilee. 2 years of provision you're counting on. And that requires that the previous years and the previous cycles have gone well enough that you can have confidence in God. Now, God knows we're going to have times of difficulty, hardship, and lack. And he wants to protect us during those times, and he wants to help us recover from such times. The idea of redeeming property reflects this in our Torah readings. There are times when people would go in debt, they'd sell their property, their inheritance even, And God says, that will happen, but it needs to be returned to you at a certain time. The year of Jubilee, you'll get it all back. Your people will start again fresh. And the idea that property returns to original owners, the idea that you can redeem property by paying off the debt of someone else, that's tied to it as well. And the idea of redeeming slaves, I want to explain that to you, is such a foundational idea that reflects God's mercy to those who are in trouble, to those who are experiencing difficulty, to those who have lack. You see, there were times when the children of Israel would find that they didn't have enough money to pay their debts or to cover the expenses of their life, and they would put themselves in servitude to another. And the Lord said, in my land, you can't stay a permanent slave like that. There's got to be a time when you're set free again. Now, why did he do that? He wanted every person, regardless of their circumstance, to know that he sees them as a free person, regardless of their condition. So they're a person, not an object. They're not chattel. And they are a free person, even if their circumstances aren't free, for a purpose so that they would see that their future will include freedom, so they can get themselves ready for freedom, and then they can see themselves as being a free person, that the time of their servitude would come to an end, and then they would become free. But there's an idea about redeeming slaves, which is this, that a kinsman can come and buy you out of your slavery. If you were sold into slavery or had to sell yourself into slavery, one of your relatives could come and pay a price and you would be set free. Because you're not just an object. There's a price that has to be paid, yes, because money is an issue here, but you're a human meant for freedom, and your redeemer can come and pay the price for you. The price you can't pay, the redeemer pays. And this very concept of redemption is foundational to all of our normal life, our spiritual and natural life, and for this world and the world to come. Now let me speak for just a few minutes about redemption from Isaiah 61:3. I want to tie this in. If you can turn to Isaiah 61, you'll see this. It says that the Lord is going to grant those who mourn in Zion. He's going to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness. And they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So this is a picture of how God works to redeem. He shows his kindness and his favor, and he exchanges our sorrows for his blessings. That's the picture here. You've got mourning, he'll give you the oil of gladness. You have a spirit of heaviness on you, he's going to give you the mantle or the garment of praise. You are mourning, and he's going to give you beauty instead. He's exchanging the tough stuff that you're going through and experiencing for the good stuff that he's got in mind for you. That's mercy. It's an exchange that he's willing to do on your behalf. And when you understand that, you can understand Yeshua's redemption, that he made an exchange for you too. He gave his life so that you could have his life. He gave his life so that your curses in your life could be reversed and overturned into blessings. He gave his life so that the mercy of God would triumph over the justice of God and the justice of this world. Redemption in Hebrew speaks of paying a price so that another one can be free. Redemption in English has maybe a little different connotation, mainly the connotation of exchange. We redeem something by turning it in and getting something else in return. How many of you remember when you had to pay a deposit on the soda that you bought, if it was in a glass bottle? You remember that? And do you remember when you were kids? I do. Collecting bottles and then taking them in. And, you know, I remember when it went, we had that bonanza when it went from 2 cents to 5 cents. And if you had a bunch of the 2 cent bottles and you could turn them in for 5 cents, it was like, wow. You know, that was so incredible. When you bring the bottles back, you get your money back. Now, some of you are old enough to remember saving stamps at the grocery stores. Who remembers that? SNH green stamps. Who remembers gold stamps? Was that another one? Those are the only two I remember. There may have been one more that was a Scottish thing that nobody used. You know, only the off-brand stores offered those. I don't remember what it was. Well, nowadays we have something similar. We've got frequent flyer points with airlines. We've got, you know, like loyalty points with hotels and things like that. You've got reward points even on your bank cards. How many of you are like fanatics collecting points? So, yeah, this is not such a clever group. You guys need help. I've flown all over the world for free on points. I've stayed for weeks in hotels for free. Yeah, with points. Amen. And so for us in America, redemption means you collected something, you turn it in, and you get to exchange it for something valuable that you want. But in a way, Yeshua and what he's done for us, it touches both aspects of redemption, the Hebrew aspect and the English aspect, because he pays the price for freedom. He pays the price. He pays the price we can't pay in order to set us free. Plus, he exchanged what we do have for what we need and we want. We've got sorrow. He says, well, you can trade your sorrow in for joy. How many of you like to trade that in? Trade in the sorrow for joy. The heaviness. Do you know what a spirit of heaviness is? It's that spiritual force that weighs you down, that keeps you from feeling like you're alive and life is good. And he exchanges that for a garment of praise, where you feel like you're well-dressed. How many of you feel better when you get some new clothes? I'm a sucker. If I get a shirt that I really like, I'll wear it, I'll put it in the laundry, I want to wear it again as soon as it's clean. My wife knows that. She gets bored seeing me in the same thing, so she won't, she'll hide it from me for a while. The garments of praise is like this. It means you're dressed well for life in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense. And you can praise the Lord. You can praise him. The scripture teaches us that when we have difficult things going on in our lives, we need to praise God. We need to give him thanksgiving about everything. Instead of being worried about it, we thank him about things, and then we make our petitions known. And we pray differently when we're grateful. We pray differently when we're mindful of the breakthroughs that God has made. And when you throw off that spirit of heaviness and you put on the garment of praise, it's powerful. It makes you feel like you're alive again. Regardless of the problem that you're facing, you face it differently. If you knew that your problem would be solved tomorrow, how would you feel? Joyful. Well, what about the day after tomorrow? Can you handle that next week? 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You see, what you find is, what you really need to know is that there is hope for your future. There is hope. And you have to know how to get it. And one of the ways you get it is you participate in the exchange that God has done for you through the redemption of Yeshua. You say, I've got problems, but Yeshua's got answers. I'm weak, but he's strong. I don't know what to do, but he's all wise, and he says, ask for wisdom if you don't know what to do. He'll give wisdom without reproach. He'll never say, you're a fool, why do you need this? He'll say, you're smart, you're wise, because you're asking for wisdom. When you don't know what to do, you know the best thing to do? To go to God and say, I don't know what to do. Sometimes my prayer sounds something like this: God, I don't know anything, and I need to know something. Could you show me something that I need for right now? And he never rebukes me for that. Sometimes he chuckles. I say, you don't know anything. He says, you barely know how little you know. That doesn't make me feel bad. It makes me feel good. Because he's all wise. Well, this Haftorah passage we'll talk about tomorrow that speaks about the promise of redemption. But I want to just pull out one phrase that Jeremiah prays to God as he's having to believe God about the promise of redemption. And he prays to God and he says, "Ah, Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Can you say that with me? Nothing is too difficult for you. You remember, Yeshua said, "Your sins are forgiven." They said, "How dare you?" He said, "You think that's hard? Watch this. Which is harder, your sins are forgiven or paralyzed man rise up and walk?" He says, "Okay, so that you know I have authority to forgive sins," Yeshua said to the paralyzed man, "rise up and walk." He does the harder thing in order that you and I would know that the easier thing to say, he can do too. Nothing is too difficult for you. So Jeremiah says that. That's his prayer. He's praying that. And then in Jeremiah 32, verse 26 and 27, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me?" That's God's answer. Jeremiah says, nothing's too difficult for you, and God says, is there anything too difficult for me? Think about your problem. Think about your need. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too hard for him. That is his promise to you and to me, and that's what he wants you and me to hold on to and to know. It helps us work in a normal way, get good jobs, work hard, train, seek promotion, have ambition. It carries us through during times of difficulty, yes. But it also helps us understand we need not only normal provision, we need supernatural provision. And what is supernatural provision and where does it come from? Let me tell you some examples of what supernatural provision looks like. Supernatural provision comes to you when you take Shabbat. It comes to you when you tithe and God says, "Oh, you're giving your tithe. I'm going to pour out more than you have room for. I'm going to rebuke the devourer." It comes when you give offerings. Supernatural provision comes when you pray. Not just like some people say, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who pray as well. When you speak to God and you tell him your needs, you tell him your desires, you tell him your troubles, you tell him everything, and you ask him what he wants to do, he answers you, and he will do supernatural things. There's another way that supernatural provision works: when you love. When you do things in love, God does amazing things that cannot be explained in the natural world. When you serve other people, when you minister, when you give praise, when you give thanksgiving, there are breakthroughs. He gives supernatural provision through words of knowledge. Have you ever prayed and God put a word in your mind or in your heart and you understood what you needed to do or what needed to happen and you just did it and it worked and it didn't connect to the natural world, but it connected to God's supernatural world? There are so many ways. Even prophecy, God will work through prophecy. He will give you what the scriptures call chazon. Can you say that with me? Chazon. It means revelation. It means vision. It means prophecy. He'll give you prophetic revelation and vision. You'll see things that aren't, that he wants to come into existence. And when you line yourself up with that, supernatural provision comes to you. And you will see more than you asked or imagined or could have worked for. You see this in the life of Joseph, sold into slavery, becomes the prime minister of Egypt. Rejected by his brothers, he puts on love and obedience, and he becomes their redeemer and provides not only for them, but for all of Israel in the physical and in the spiritual. You see it in the life of Yeshua, who laid down his life. No one took it from him. He laid it down. And that was the key for his resurrection. In his obedience, the power of God made it impossible for death to keep him down, to hold him down. We need normal. We need normal means of provision. We need supernatural provision. And we need provision even when we get ourselves in trouble, too. He is our Redeemer as well. I want to pray for anyone who needs a breakthrough in any one of these areas, in your normal area, your work area, your school. I want to pray for you. You know, often provision in breakthroughs in normal areas come because you understand something to do that's normal. Kid doesn't study, gets bad grades, understands you get better grades if you study. So they study, they get better grades. That's normal provision. That's good. Sometimes it takes prayer for that to get into a kid's head. People don't work well, they don't work hard, they don't have good work ethics, they don't have good skills, and then they see something. I need to work harder, I need better skills, I need to get educated, I need training and preparation. They do that, they get promoted, they get good jobs. That's normal provision, we need that. But we also need the other stuff, the supernatural provision. When you've done everything and it's still not enough, you know you need supernatural provision. But not only that, listen, there are times when you can have more than enough. You can be in bounty, surplus, and blessing, and God wants to provide for you supernaturally for more than you were thinking is even possible, to do what you couldn't do on your own. Think of a number, for instance. How much, don't say this number, but if you were thinking, what are you capable of giving for the sake of others? You say, well, I could do that. Now, imagine a number that's so outrageous it's impossible for you to give. Impossible. Now, there may be a time when God says to you, I want you to be able to give that because I have something I want to accomplish that needs that resources, and I'm going to bless you supernaturally. I'm going to put you in places and make connections. I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself, and then you're going to have those resources to give. That's supernatural, and you want to be connected to that too. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that we would have the revelation of your full provision, that we would see your provision through all the normal means, that we would see your supernatural provision. I pray for all those who are tithing, all those who are praying, all those who are serving, all those who are trusting you, all those who are giving thanksgiving and praise to you on a continual basis, that you will give your supernatural provision. And Lord, I pray for provision in times of trouble. I pray for everyone who's finding themselves in lack or difficulty, and they can't get themselves out of it. And I pray that you would send redemption on their behalf, that you would send a way to restore them to normal and supernatural provision, and that you would encourage them. You would put that gift of faith that sees what you want to do and says yes to you. I pray for your encouragement and for your power to be released into our lives in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? No one should stand alone. If you're alone, move. If you see someone who's alone, move. I like it when crowds form here. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.